Hello, everyone, and welcome to Season 5 of Goddamn GameCube. If you like our show, please leave us a rating on Spotify and subscribe on YouTube. Thank you, and enjoy today's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Goddamn GameCube. Greg and Riley are your hosts today. Welcome to Spooky Month. We've got a whole set of scary games and horror games we're going to talk about this month, and we're starting off with Little Nightmares 1 and 2, a game that we both played recently that I've wanted to play for a few years, and we finally bid on it. So, Riley, why don't you take it away? Let's do it.
Sure. So let's start out with Little Nightmares, the first one. You call this a 2.5D kind of adventure game?
Yeah, kind of.
You know, it's a little bit of horror, a little bit of platforming and puzzle elements, developed by Tarsier Studios, who also did a Little Big Planet. I never played any of those, but those were pretty popular.
Wait, did they make those?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So same little kind of guys floating around.
I almost feel like we should have covered this before White Shadows. Because I feel like White Shadows took some influence from this.
I agree, which we'll get into. And so this was also published by Bandai Namco.
Okay.
So this came out in 2017. You take control of a young girl in a yellow raincoat, I think referred to in official media as Six, though I don't believe they say that at any point during the game. As she attempts to escape a hostile industrial atmosphere populated by strange creatures and nightmarish contraptions. So the basic gameplay loop, similar to popular indie platformer titles like Limbo or White Shadows, you know, kind of a small and vulnerable protagonist needing to outwit and run and hide from these big imposing entities to progress. So what would you say differentiates these games from their peers? And I guess, what do you think of that 2.5D perspective? Do you think that's part of it?
Okay. I think there's so much to talk about with The Little Nightmares. I think what differentiates this game is it's a purposeful horror game, mm-hmm. where I don't think Limbo and Inside are. They're just kind of, they look kind of spooky, but I don't think they're supposed to be horror games. I think a big part of Little Nightmares is they do a really good job of, I am a kid, and the enemies are very big,
yeah.
and the art style is meant to be intimidating.
Yeah.
Like, everything around you is huge, and you are small.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying the games like it don't do that, but it's not as emphasized.
Right.
Where, I mean, in Little Nightmares, you also have this sort of real world meets fake world, where you have, like, people-sized objects, but you're tiny.
Yeah.
Which I think is very effective. What was the second half of that of your question?
If you felt maybe that the perspective added anything to it.
Okay, so I do think, we'll talk about this at some point, it could be now, where I do think the 2D versus 3D gets in the way of the gameplay a little, where it makes the platforming too hard, but it works well for the art style and for the aesthetic of what the game looks like, but it doesn't always help the gameplay.
Yeah, I think for my view, I think the gameplay, it's really like nothing we haven't seen before. And I would even describe the controls in the first one, especially, as a little clunky in places.
Yep.
I think in terms of that like, it's kind of cool that you could, whereas something like Limbo or White Shadows is strictly 2D, there is like some going around furniture and kind of escaping in those kinds of ways. And I feel like maybe the perspective doesn't lend itself as well to, you know, like, I can't see what's going on, you know, like,
right.
It's kind of obstructed. I also felt that there were a lot of checkpoints I felt could have been more generous.
Yes. Some of them are very, very, like, some of the checkpoints are very spread out. Some of them are back to back. It's just a little uneven.
Yeah. And I think it happens in a lot of games like this, where the trial and error process for some of these encounters, like trying to figure out a puzzle, they kind of take you out of the atmosphere a little bit.
All right, which, so we're going to get into this right now. So
I was going to say, just like, I think that the atmosphere is great, But when you have to repeat something over and over, you're kind of like, all right.
Yeah. You know, like, so, okay, let's break that down. If we might as well get into this. So it's actually one of the only problems with Little Nightmares is that the trial and error takes me out of the game. I actually had this first in my notes where I actually think this is one of the best looking games I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I described it as it's, you might not think it's the best looking, but to me, it's my favorite looking. Where I think the monsters are disgusting and everything is, I don't know what it is. There's this level of things are big and you are small, and the monster characters are so gross where I think this game looks amazing. Yeah. I love what this game looks like, but we're getting into the trial and error. I think so much of this game is based on aesthetic and feeling and dread, where when I have to keep repeating these checkpoints because everything is a one hit death and every failure point is a game over.
Yeah.
I'm like, I remember when I was, we're talking about Little Nightmares 1 right now, but I remember during Little Nightmares 2, I shouted at the screen at one point, you're taking me out of the game. Why did you do this? Like, stop.
Yeah.
Like, I want to like it. Anyway,
yeah, because I think it makes the scary stuff less scary.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this before on the show, but in a horror game, you want to get your character out of the situation.
Yeah.
And when you keep dying, you stop caring. And when you stop caring, the game is not... it's not a successful horror game anymore.
Yeah.
It becomes a slog, which is unfortunate because this game looks amazing and the set pieces are awesome.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It kind of like, it starts to beg the question, would this be better if you had no control? You know? Like, because it's like, it's playing out. It can only play out one way, really. Yep. And you have to get it right. So I would call that a limitation. One of the few.
I rarely say this, but... this is one of those games where I think this game would be better if it was easier. And I never say that like about games.
I would say definitely, I think the way to fix it is not have everything be a one
failure state is game over.
Yeah.
Like every mistake, I should say every game, every mistake is game over.
Right.
Which makes the game very irritating.
Yeah. I don't love that. There's not a lot of wiggle room for those kinds of situations. Talking about, I'd like to get into the atmosphere a little bit more about the good things about this game. I think the world is very grungy. I think that's a big asset to it. And while it's not clear at first what kind of place you're in, there are rooms with like recognizable purpose, like human purpose, like kitchens, which feel like a nightmarified version, kind of. And the game is always interesting to look at, I feel. Despite not a lot of different color palettes, it's all like a lot of muted like blues and browns. And I think that the occasional lilt of the environment in this one is very disorienting. So I wanted to ask you, maybe this is a little bit of a spoiler question, I guess. When did you realize that your character was underwater?
Oh, okay. I think is there a part where you either walk up a chain or go outside?
Yes.
I think it was then.
That was it. But what surprised me greatly was that I was looking at pre-release stuff for this game and they outright announced it. They
said, you're on a boat.
You are in an underwater like submarine or
something like
that.
You're in like a cruise ship kind of, right? Or something like that.
Some sort of, subnautical, just it's station or something.
Like,
it moves, but I thought it was cool how much there is a lot of like going back and forth, like crates moving and barrels and stuff like that. And at a certain point I kind of asked the question, like, where am I?
Yep.
You know, and then it eventually reveals it to you. I would say that the score for me, the music is a soft thumbs up. I think it's good. But I would say that even better is the sound design in general.
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up. I think what's very effective. Oh, I don't want to bite off. That was almost a pun. I don't want to bite off too much right now, but what I loved were really three parts of the sound design.
Yeah.
The sound of hunger in your character, which we'll bring up at some point, the hunger pangs and the heartbeat was like visceral to me. It like made me hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
The sound of it being quiet and you breaking something and a boss noticing is awesome. And what's also awesome is when a boss is on your trail and it the game gets very like thunderous and heartbeaty and it gets louder. That was very well done. Essentially, when you're under duress or something happens, the game sounds very good to me.
Yeah, especially if I think there's a couple moments where you have to be careful about where you're stepping.
Yes.
And if God help you, you step on like broken glass or something, you know immediately, like, oh shit.
Yeah. And some of the monster sounds are so gross, too.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, like, you sometimes, I think a lot of the time, you it is telegraphing that you're about to encounter something with this horrifying noise, the likes of which you've never heard before.
Yes.
It's like it really builds the anticipation of finding something like that. So I wanted to kind of get into setup here a little bit,
yeah,
of how it starts. So the story begins with this vision of this mysterious woman in a kimono and what is called a, I believe it's pronounced no mask, N-O-H, Japanese theater mask. And your character Six wakes up in a suitcase, which reminded me a lot of White Shadows.
Yep.
And the early minutes of the game, getting into that sound design, are very quiet.
Yep.
Very eerie and suspenseful.
Just footsteps.
Just footsteps. The key points of note here are that there are several what appears to be jailed children in this area.
Yes.
As well as these small little runaway creatures called gnomes.
Yep.
That you can hug them and when you do that, they help you out with puzzles and stuff. I thought it was cool. And the first few real active obstacles are these big like leeches,
yeah,
or whatever, like they're made out of tar or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this very kind of Zelda-y like eye camera that you have to avoid, like a spotlight.
Yep.
Because it'll turn you into stone if you, yeah, get caught in its beam. So it's kind of like where this game goes to some crazy places, but I appreciated the slow kind of like, okay, this is like I need to be afraid of this, but it's not. It's a small potato.
They don't bite off the horror right off the bat.
No.
It takes some buildup.
It does.
Then you're just in the shit forever, but...
Yes. Yeah. So you gradually make your way up to what I would call the first major boss or set piece. Do you want to talk about this guy a little bit?
Yes. It's actually my least favorite.
Oh, really?
The janitor is probably my least favorite.
Interesting.
So I actually didn't quite understand what he was until I looked it up.
Yeah.
Like, that's what... It's not a huge problem with the game, but I feel like some of the bosses, I can't quite discern what their job was in the location that they're doing it.
Yeah. Well, specifically him. You don't really...
I thought he was just like... Well, essentially, we'll get into it here. Like,
yeah,
from what I gathered, he's blind but can hear what you're doing.
Yes.
And he's got really long arms.
Yes.
And so he can like reach for you in places and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So... do you want me to start here? Like, I have some bits, unless you want to lead.
I just wanted to say, I do think he's pretty disturbing looking, and he has a name tag which says Roger.
Oh, does he have a name?
Yeah.
Oh, we should have called him Roger. Okay.
It's up to you, but yeah, say your piece.
Maybe I was just having a bad gamer moment day where like it wasn't quite obvious to me at some points how to pass him.
Yeah.
Where it was this one specific segment where you have to walk on the carpet because he hears the wood.
Right.
And you have to like throw toys that make noise.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't quite obvious to me how to get past him. And this trial and error thing started to grind me a little.
Yeah.
I don't know how much trouble you had with this guy at certain sections, or maybe I was just having a bad gamer day.
I think it was hit and miss for me.
There was one part of him where I got irritated by it. It was very specific.
It's also very like you can't really at first you can't tell how long his reach actually is,
yeah,
which is actually very long.
Yeah.
Like he reaches up in like the vents where you're, yep, you're trying to escape from him and stuff. Did you want to bring up that? Did you have that in mind, that moment where you got stuck?
So or? Yeah, it's so essentially you're in two rooms and you have to walk on a carpet and there's almost like a cage you can hide in. Do you remember this?
Yes.
There's a couple of months with him. There's one where like you're in a library. That was fine. You're under the floorboards or whatever. It's fine. This is where you're out in the open.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of make your way onto carpet and kind of throw toys backwards so they make noise.
Yeah.
And for some reason, like, I don't know what it was, but he kept hearing me do everything and it was really starting to grind me.
Yeah.
I mean, there are other moments with him that are fine. There was actually a cool moment where there are a bunch of clocks going off and it pisses him off because,
yeah,
they're so loud.
I think also you turn on the TV at one point.
Yes.
It's weird little sound or song,
yeah,
is playing.
There are cool parts to this guy. He's just not my favorite in this game.
Yeah. I liked how you dispatch him. Do we want to talk about
Yeah. Where essentially both of his arms are reaching for you in this room and you have to
like under a door.
Under a door, but you have to pull out what's propping up the door so the door cuts off his arms.
Yeah. That was
awesome.
God,
and him screaming when you cut his arms off. Honestly, this game has some, what I would call some really good fuck you moments.
Yeah.
Really good. Like fuck you to the boss, not fuck you to the player.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Some really good ones.
That really got me. Got me. If there was any doubt in dealing with this guy, I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Fuck you.
got rid of his big long arms. So we want to move on to the next segment here.
Yeah, I love the next. Well, actually, there's one part with the janitor that I thought was really weird, and I don't know what the significance is. Remember the part with all the shoes?
That was awesome.
What the fuck was that? Are those his arms? Or there's
no,
just, they're just what the fuck is that?
There's a monster in the shoes. So there's, I think we can get into lore conjecture as we go along, but I think the implication is that people are being killed and like all their clothes are being taken from them.
Yeah.
And so these are like the shoes of all the people they've killed. And there's like a monster, like a sea monster in the shoes.
Yeah.
I love that.
And you're like wading through the shoes and you can't move very fast.
They
and
never you, show you
and you
what
see
it is.
Almost like a shark fin coming through. It's not, they don't see anything, but it's
there's
very
a ripple.
Like, it's very Jaws reminiscent.
Yeah.
There's like a ripple in the shoes chasing you. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
I've never seen that before.
Yeah. I had in my notes, I've never seen this.
No. That was great. And
oh wait, before we move on, there is one note I had. This, and the game does it again later. I don't think I've ever played a game where you have to ride an elevator and the boss is in it with you. Do you remember this?
That was great.
Where the janitor hits the button. Like you hide in the elevator, he walks in and touches it as if he's interacting with the gameplay. I said,
yes.
This game is fucking good, man.
That was awesome.
I said, whoa.
Yeah, that was great. And there's even more elevator antics.
That happens later too, but I said, yeah, nice.
The next segment, you're going into the kitchen.
This rocks. I mean, do you know what I have down here as my first sentence? This fucking rocks. It's so gross.
It is disgusting. You want to talk about these guys?
Sure. I believe the first shot you get of these guys is one of them is actually cooking a meal. Like he's cutting meat on a table. You can actually see him slicing the slices of meat. I think it's a he, I don't know, but I thought that was so great. This is where this is the moment in the game where I said, I think this is the best looking game I've ever seen.
It looks awesome.
It is so gross. His character design is so disgusting, and he's just cooking a meal and you see him making the ingredients and you're just this tiny thing under a table.
Yeah.
I said, okay, this game's good, man.
Really,
it's a good game.
Really weird noises they're making. So I think you may see one earlier, just a glimpse of one guy on his smoke break or something.
You might be right.
And you don't really get a clear picture, but it's these two chefs, these two like gigantic chefs. They're preparing like piles of mystery meat and like turning it into sausages.
The other moment where you meet the other chef is really cool, but you can miss it.
We'll
quote unquote miss it if you're not looking the right way.
Right.
The second chef is sleeping in a break room.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember this? Like,
yes.
Essentially, I believe your first objective is you have to get a key to get out of the kitchen.
Right.
The key is in the bedroom. So you go to this is a great moment where you go to the bedroom. The key is hanging on a wall. You have to climb and shimmy the key off by like, the key is bigger than you.
Yeah.
And when you knock the key onto the floor, a chef is sleeping in the bed and he wakes up and you have to hide under the bed. I said, fuck me, dude. This is a good game.
It's awesome. And did you notice that very particular detail about these guys that's like even weirder?
No.
Is that their faces are really like sagging, just weird. They appear to be masks.
Oh.
So like at a certain point, if you watch the guy who's preparing food long enough, he'll taste it and he reaches like under his skin and like puts it in his mouth.
That is so interesting.
It's
and
really
even,
weird.
Even more gross.
And it kind of comes back in the second one a little bit. We'll talk about that.
I want to say one more because we're on the subject of this part of the game. Do you know what I thought was brilliant about this game? Where when you need a key to unlock a door, you have to fucking carry it.
Yes.
It doesn't go into your magical video game inventory. You don't just put it in your pocket.
And they're big.
You have to fucking carry it.
Yeah.
And I love that shit. It was awesome.
That was great. You have to throw it and do all this crazy stuff. So they're also like that puzzle where you have to like make sausages to swing on them.
Oh, I hated this. Like,
really?
Just because I loved it, but it was so gross.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You have to essentially toss meat, various kinds of meat, into a meat grinder to make a sausage to swing on.
Yes.
It was so gross.
It was very funny, very memorable. So shall we move on to the next part here? I wanted to say a brief little aside here about this part. For me was maybe the most viscerally unpleasant And it really, I think it's a personal thing where you get essentially out of the clutches of these chefs
by riding like a sink hook, right? Because there's a dishwashing segment where you're riding on like almost like a laundry hook.
Yeah. You hang on that and you escape because they're not tall enough.
Before we move on to this awesome segment, I don't know if you have this in this order. I don't. We should bring this up. There are a couple of moments where your character is hungry. Does this happen yet? Are we at that point?
Yeah, I was going to kind of just do a bit on it as it builds up to this one climactic moment. Your character is essentially... Do you want to talk about it a little bit
I think it starts around here. So we should at least set the seed here.
It seems like that hunger and eating are like a kind of unifying theme.
Consumption, child hunger.
Yeah, and in this first game specifically... I think it is immaculately paced in this buildup of the desperation of your character's hunger.
Because I think so it develops over time where I think in the kitchen segment, it's really visceral to your character is like holding their stomach and it's really loud in the soundtrack. And another child throws you a piece of bread.
Yeah. So it starts out with another child giving you like the rest of their lunch or something.
I think it's bread.
And then it goes to, there's some meat that was like left in a trap.
But rats are eating it. And then you eat it.
And then, yeah, you eat that. And then you wind up eating a rat.
Yes, I think. I believe you're right. But I think that's coming right about now.
So I think the next part happens after the guest.
The guest, which is awesome.
So there's an image here that I found incredibly disturbing and bothersome. And it's like you finally get outside and it's kind of like sunrise or sunset or something. And you see this ship come up to where this station, wherever you are. And you see a bridge or something extend over and this train of like guests. What they call the guests show up, these big like lumbering like people in suits and stuff, and something about this really reached into like my deep subconscious of just like these gross guys are visiting this something like untoward is happening here.
Yes.
And like they're nobody's saying anything. It's just all like I don't know what it is.
Rich people have some sort of invitation.
Like proclivity.
You have like, some sort of like invitation to come to this place to essentially gorge themselves on food and perhaps children.
Yes.
Yeah.
It rang a little bit of Epstein to me.
Oh, I was about to say that. It kind of sounds like Epstein and the Menu together.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Where it's really disgusting and disturbing without saying a word.
Yep.
And this whole segment is really intense, where you have to they're very distracted by
all the
shoving
food.
All this food in their mouths
and wine
and all this stuff, and you have to sneak around them. Mm-hmm. You want to say a couple more words about
this? I took so many videos of this. I thought it was awesome, where you actually have to run in front of them and run on the kitchen tables and stuff
when they notice you and they're all coming after you.
Oh my god, when they notice you, they're grabbing at you as if they want to eat you.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
So cool. I love that shit.
I mean, honestly, it might be one of the best chase segments I've seen in a game is in this section.
Yeah.
Where at some point they all just get so riled up that they want to eat you. They start piling over themselves and crawling at you because they've eaten so much they can't walk.
Right.
And so they're crawling at you as you're just running down this hallway. Unbelievable, man. This is one of my favorite, I think, gaming clips I've ever taken.
It's awesome. It's very... You know, it kind of shares the same. If you mess it up, it will, you know, repeat itself. It kind of has that problem. But other than that, it's just like it's so exciting that it almost doesn't matter.
This is one of the only segments where I didn't die and I did it in one try. Oh, and yeah. I was so jacked up. Like I was screaming at the screen in a good way.
Yeah.
I remember, I wish I had my mic on or I was streaming this. Remember when I was running away from the pile of guests like crawling at you? I was screaming like, let's go, you've got it, jump it, do it. And then I remember the final shot is so good. There's a little lamp swing and you have to jump and get it. I said like, come on, buddy, do it, jump it, fuck yeah.
I love that.
It's unreal.
It was incredibly exciting. And so do we want to talk about the kind of the fulfillment of that hunger? plot line here a little bit.
Well, the fulfillment is the last moment of the game.
Well, but true, yeah. But then
let's talk about the progression here.
The turning point, I guess.
Yeah, hunger turning point.
Is that your character experiences this hunger pang again, and one of the little gnome creatures shows up and offers you a sausage.
Yeah.
And it does this incredible, you know, kind of rug pull here, where I thought like the next progression was going to be, oh, now your character's going to eat the sausage of who knows what's in it or whatever, and she eats the little gnome guy.
Yeah, this is where I said, oh no, like, so this is where the game is very clever, where it really starts you off as it's self-explaining, but you're a child. And so this game does a good job of, there's a nightmare of adults trying to eat me and I'm a kid. Yeah. They do a very good job of that. But you start to unravel, am I a monster too?
Yeah.
Like, it gets worse. But what I loved about this was, a little kid offers you bread and you take it.
Yeah.
And then you eat some meat that a rat was eating.
Yeah.
So it's kind of gross, but okay, you're desperate. Then I think you take a bite out of a rat.
Yeah.
And then a kid offers you a sausage and you eat him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's going on here? This is not good.
You can kind of see the end game come out of the fog a little bit.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
But so I wanted to get your thoughts on this final segment here with the tall figure in the kimono.
The lady.
Yes. What did you think about this?
I love the setup. What I love about this game is they do a very good job what's the word for this? We have problems with games where you don't know where the ending is because they don't build it up well enough.
Yes.
I knew this was the end of the game.
Right.
Like, you saw her in the opening.
Yep.
And you almost get to, I would almost call it like VIP headquarters, executive headquarters. It's very
her lair.
It's very like stylish and like, what's the word, like fancy and ritzy.
Yeah.
And what's really interesting too is like the setup of her, she's looking at herself in a mirror and singing a song.
Yes.
And you just have to kind of walk behind her as she's humming it.
Mm-hmm. And then you walk back, she's gone.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking good, man.
My favorite was when you're in the room with all of her gowns.
Yeah.
And she's hiding amongst the gowns.
Oof.
That was really scary.
Yeah.
So essentially, like, you eventually get caught by her. And you have to do this Legend of Zelda boss fight.
Yeah,
a
it's like one of the only boss fights in the game.
I thought it was good.
So I thought this was actually, maybe I'm stupid. It took me like 20 minutes of running around to realize you have to pick up the mirror in the side room to start the fight.
Oh, yeah.
I was running around forever. Like, I didn't know what to do.
I think because I picked it up by accident, I was oh, I have to use this.
I think this boss fight, I think, is fine. It's a cool setup. The room is totally dark and there's a spotlight. Oh, fuck. Of course, it's very Bioshocky shotgun moment where you have to go into the center of the spotlight and she comes at you from various corners and you have to shine the mirror at her, make her look at herself, which was, it was really cool. I was jacked up to this one. I was fucking screaming in a good way.
Yeah. So you beat her by shining light at her. And she's kind of defenseless on the ground.
Oh.
And what does your character do?
Oh my God. I have this in all caps. But keep in mind, I was screaming at the screen. I was cheering my character on in the worst way.
Yeah.
Do you know, this is what I literally yelled at the screen. I said, oh my God, are you going to eat her? Because you hear the hunger pain.
Yeah.
Your character's doubled over because they're hungry. I said, are you going to take a fucking bite out of her? I said, do it. Fucking do it. Fucking do it. And you fucking take a bite out of her neck and the game ends. And I literally said, fuck yeah, bon appetit, fuck you, let's go.
That was good. But there's also this scene where it seems like this character, the lady, has some kind of supernatural power.
Yeah.
And your character
inherits
that or something. And when she is walking out of this submarine station, she, she walks past all the remaining guests and like absorbs like their life force or something. That was kind of interesting. And then it just kind of like she reaches the outside, the sunlight, and it's kind of the end of it.
Yeah.
So do you want to have do you have any final thoughts before we get into, I wanted to talk about the DLC a little bit.
Okay. We doing grades after DLC?
Yeah,
sure. So final thoughts on Little Nightmares, is that it? Sort of the wrap up?
Yeah, or specifically the story.
Sure, sure.
Like, you know, how you felt start to end.
Yeah, the progression of the hunger was so interesting.
Yeah.
I thought, keep in mind, the game starts very cute. child hunger, a kid throws you the rest of their food. Then you start doing kind of gross stuff. Then you take a bite out of a kid. Yeah. And then you take a fucking bite out of the final boss. I mean, honestly, I knew that, like, my character, they're probably going down an evil path, but I fucking cheered it on.
Yeah.
I said, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. So I wanted to just very briefly touch on the DLC.
Sure.
So I don't want to necessarily say it's worth playing, but it does give you a little bit more lore.
Go ahead.
So unfortunately, there's a good amount of time spent with your friend, the janitor. You are playing as one of the... There's a couple, like, children in cages early on. So you play as one of those, and he escapes. And so you're kind of running in tandem with the main character. You kind of, like, cross paths with her at certain points. But what happens is, so there is a new kind of monster. It's kind of similar to the shoe creature, and they call it the Granny. And she's, like, this old lady who lives in, like, the water, like a flooded section, and she'll, like, reach up and try to grab you. She's a pretty horrifying...
Awesome.
Monster, and you wind up taking her out by pushing a TV in the water and electrocuting her.
Fuck yeah.
Incredible stuff. But you wind up, you run into the lady also, and you see her without her mask, and it is one of those kind of chef faces where it's like all her skin is like hanging off. So it's really questionable, like, what her deal is too.
I get it. So essentially she's wearing the mask and is trying to... the final boss makes more sense. You're trying to show her what she really looks like, right? And doesn't want to see it.
Exactly. Yep. And the really interesting thing is that when she catches you, she turns you into a gnome. So that's where they come from, is like little kids who have been turned into the gnomes. And you have to do some gnome puzzles as one of those little guys running around and everything. And the chef's kiss, no pun intended, is that at the very end you are the gnome that gives her the sausage.
Oh,
so it's
God.
So you, it's the story of that little
of
guy.
That gnome.
Oh my
they
God.
Do a pretty nice job tying everything together for as gross as it is. This game is such a combination of gross and cute.
Yeah. It's a nice little side story. I don't know if it's necessarily worth playing, but it was cool. So I would like to get into total final thoughts and grades on Little Nightmares.
Yeah.
I think this is an extremely memorable game, really only held back by a couple mechanical shortcomings and a few aspects of games that we've seen a lot before. I heard some criticism about the short length, which doesn't bother me at all.
I think that's a silly critique. Like, I think any game that you can, I call it from title card to credits, is cool.
Yeah, I think it's perfect for this kind of game. I'd definitely play it again. What would you give this one?
Okay, I'm very high. I'm going A-.
I'm going to do the same.
So for me, we've talked about it enough, where there's too much trial and error.
Yeah.
They demand too much of you from a platforming perspective.
Yeah.
It's too often. And you know, when you're playing a horror game and there's too much trial and error, you get taken out of the game, I stop giving a shit, then it's not a good game anymore.
Yeah.
So anyway, for me, it's an A-, because in my opinion, it might be my favorite looking game ever, or one of them.
Yeah.
The set pieces are amazing, and the way they tied together, like, child hunger and you taking a bite out of stuff and you kind of becoming a bad person is kind of fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And taking a bite out of the final boss honestly might be one of my favorite final boss moments ever. I've never seen that.
It's very, like, I get you could interpret this any number of ways, but it's hard to say, like, what they're saying about, you know, just cannibalism as a way of expressing, like, the consumer culture and how you have become a part of it.
Yes,
or something,
kind
you
of.
Know? You could extrapolate what you want, but it felt thoughtful either way.
Very.
So A- for that one.
A-, absolutely.
Great times, definitely play it. All right, so Little Nightmares 2 we're going to get into now.
All right.
So this is the same production team. This was released in 2021, 4 years after the original.
More recent than I thought.
Yeah, so the protagonist of this game... is a young boy, I believe, called Mono in some media.
Do you know what's funny? Like, these characters, I called them my own word because they don't have a name in the game. I called them, like, Raincoat Girl and Bag Boy.
Yeah. Bag Boy, he's wearing a paper bag over his face. Very similar gameplay wise to the first one, so there's not a lot to say there. So this boy, he's wearing a paper bag over his face, and he is sort of plagued by dreams of this eerie hallway and a door with an eye painted on it, which is, I think, like a recurring motif. There's some of that in the original game as well. It's kind of a recurring motif. So this game starts out in the woods, which is a nice kind of change in scenery from the first one. And you rescue this very skittish girl from a cabin. And you are soon set upon by this another giant adult called the Hunter. Do you want to talk about the Hunter?
I think this is a great segment. I really like it. So what I kind of put together before this was, before you get to the Hunter's cabin, the traps you're escaping are his.
Yeah.
So like bear traps and ways to kill like animals and creatures and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I think the Hunter is awesome.
Yeah.
There's a little trial and error here, which always bugs me, but him taking shots at you with a shotgun and you have to hide behind boxes is kind of awesome.
Because his shotgun is like giant compared to you.
It's like he's huge and he's just taking shots at you.
It's
like
awesome.
You're just like an animal.
And it's very, very different from anything you saw in the first one.
Yes. Yeah.
And I loved how you take this guy out. Like, oh my God.
Or like you get to like some shed and there's another gun in it and you and the skittish girl prop the gun up together and shoot him through a door and kill him.
Oh my God. It's like such a great like exclamation point on that segment.
Remember, what did I say earlier? This game, these Little Nightmares has a lot of good fuck you moments.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Because it like the music and the tension is ratcheting up and it's like, bam.
Fuck
you. Done.
Done.
It's gone. So cool.
I mean, we should bring up too that like the co-op gameplay is new. Right? Like with you and,
yeah,
you and the girl?
Do you think it would have benefited from being able to control the girl?
I think
having a second player.
I think the gameplay in these games is tenuous as it is. I think it's fine. There's just what's the gameplay? You either have to like help each other climb over stuff, like help climb on each other, hold hands, or she'll hold your hand because you can't jump far enough and she'll help pick you up.
Yeah.
Like it's very basic and the gameplay is probably one of the weaker aspects of these games anyway.
Yeah.
It's fine, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It seemed like if you're having two people for the majority of the game, it would have been interesting to have that co-op element. But so yeah, this is kind of the first chapter here, and then you come across this city, which they call the Pale City. I love this setting so much.
Yep, all the rain.
This rainy, like, destroyed, I don't know, like, Hollow Knight a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, rainy, destroyed landscape seems, like, mostly abandoned, at least from the outside, until you get into this next major chapter here, which is the school. So can we talk about this a little bit?
So this is very much a hot and cold section for me.
Agreed.
So the teacher is fucking awesome. I could not stand. Are they called the bullies? What are they called? The clay kids?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They're part of this, right?
Yeah. So I could not stand the clay kid part. Like, this drove me up a wall. You ever have those moments where, like, because, you know, we do a podcast and, like, you start playing this game and there are these moments where that piss you off so much you just visualize the grade dropping, like, for the game.
Yeah.
This game has some quote-unquote combat and it's mostly bad, where, in my view, where you have to, there are these kids like made of clay. It's a cool setup.
Yeah.
But you have to hit these clay kids with a hammer to kill them and they break apart like clay pots. It's cool visually.
Yeah.
But if you fail the swing and the kid grabs you, it's an auto game over.
Yes.
Every mistake is a game over point. And there's one segment where you have to kill like 8 or 9 in a row.
Yeah.
And it took me hours. Like I was going nuts. I couldn't do this. I was like, I really, really dislike this. And there's just a sense of poor balancing in this game that drives me nuts.
Yeah.
I thought it would get cleaned up from the first game. It's actually worse in my view. I don't know how you feel about this.
Yeah. Well, I think that the platforming and that kind of stuff is definitely better. Like a little more concrete performance wise, but this is kind of a new thing for them. And there were two thoughts I had about this. Number one, I don't dislike that they added a little bit of combat, air quotes, because it feels very in line with the game, where it's not going crazy. It's not like, you know, you have like a weapon system in this game or whatever. I appreciated that it didn't need to be fleshed out any more than it was, but I really didn't like the insta-kill aspect to it. I thought it was real, because it didn't take me that long to get through this part, but
it drove me crazy.
Still, like, I was like, I'm ready for the next segment.
Yeah, I think what happened was, this is something you should have only had to swing a hammer once or twice,
yeah,
not a 25, 30 times.
Yes,
like, do it once or twice, and just so like, oh shit, did I just hurt somebody?
Yeah.
But, oh, he's made of clay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that part was cool, that they were made of little pot creatures. But
yeah.
The teacher, I will say, so I have two thoughts about the teacher. Number one, I think it's a little kind of the samey compared to the janitor. Like, you have, like, basically her deal is that her neck extends really far, which
yes,
is very scary, but it's a little similar in function to what the janitor
the
does with his arms, because she also follows you very far into the vent, like way further than you expect.
What I think is cool about the teacher is the different setups.
Yeah.
Like, the first one, I believe, is she's writing on a chalkboard and the clay kids are in her class.
Yeah.
And you have to hide under the desks.
Yeah.
I'm like, and she's looking at people's work. She's like walking around and checking people's homework. That's pretty fucking clever. Like, it's cute.
That's great. And the part where I think you're above the classroom and you hear her snapping with the ruler,
yes,
is really scary.
And do you remember when you're up high and her neck comes up to see what's going on because you drop a pot by accident?
Yes.
Like, there's also a cool part where she's an elementary school teacher, so she's teaching every subject.
Right.
So she's teaching like spelling, and then she's doing science, and then
yeah,
it's music class where she's playing the piano.
Right.
That was a cool segment.
That
where
was great.
You have to do some puzzle solving while she's playing, and when she stops to take notes, you have to stop.
Yeah,
because that was
can't
cool.
Make any noise.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, okay, listen, and her neck following you like through the air conditioning duct, it's pretty fucking good. Like,
oh yeah, because it goes on so much longer than you expect.
That was that a pun? Like, oh, time wise and length.
And length wise.
Well, I also say this too. If you don't have any fail states, the way you discover her neck is long is also terrifying.
Yeah.
You hide in a room and a shelf falls over and she doesn't walk in. She just puts her neck and head in. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
no.
This lady's not messing around.
No, pretty cool.
Reminds me of my first grade teacher a little
Oof,
bit.
Yeah. Rip.
So with that said, so you escape from her because her neck only goes so long. And outside, your partner discovers a yellow raincoat to protect her from the rain, and,
yep,
and it ties magnificently into the first. I didn't see this coming at
no,
all.
I didn't either. I did, but here's the thing, though. Like, but when that happened, I didn't know whether, oh, is this little girl six, or are they just doing a throwback to
right,
the first game? You're not sure if it's a throwback or a prequel at this point.
Yeah,
not yet.
I kind of assumed it was, and I didn't look too closely at the cover art where they literally show it.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, I thought that was a cool little twist. So moving on from here, I think the hospital is next.
Yeah, the mannequins.
What do you think about this segment?
Are we talking about the mannequins specifically?
Them and the doctor?
So the mannequins is a cool idea. It just drove me crazy. Like,
yeah,
it's just because it's a 2D game in a 3D environment, and doing any sort of 360 combat is so frustrating. Like, essentially how this works, it's kind of like the Resident Evil 4 remake, like shining Ashley's flashlight on like
yeah,
the knights with the swords.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where these mannequins, if they touch you, it's game over. But if you shine a flash on them, they stop moving.
Yeah.
Almost like red light, green light, or like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so, but there are some segments where it's just too long and you have to run across giant spans where there are multiple coming after you.
Yeah.
And you have to like strafe and move in a 360 pattern to stop them from moving.
And they're like, they're in the distance, so it's kind of hard to see.
And it's hard to, you can't, there's no targeting system.
Yeah.
It's one of these things. I'm like, dude, it's a cool idea, but I'm irritated.
Just took it too far.
And I don't want to do this anymore.
Poorly
like I'm
implemented.
Mad.
Yeah. That was annoying.
Yep.
And
the doctor, I didn't realize it was a doctor till I looked it up afterwards. I didn't know
oh,
what
really?
He was. Like,
yeah.
It seems like he was, I don't know what, it was like a maintenance person on the ceiling. I don't know what was going on here.
I think because he had that like, whatever the fuck that is,
the
that doctor
cap.
Like silver.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But he was kind of another one where a little bit more of the same, where it's like, we've seen this kind of guy before. It's creepy that he's on the ceiling.
It's just like very, janitor, but on ceiling.
Yeah, and what I did find interesting was that you escape from this guy by trapping him, and you can I did this. I didn't realize it was optional. You can like incinerate him.
I thought incinerating him was the only option.
I was like, just get rid of this guy. And,
okay, you incinerating him is really funny. Yeah. I didn't realize you don't have to. You can just trap him in there and leave.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Do you know what is funny though? You and Six kind of like watch it like a campfire when you burn him alive. You kind of sit there and wait for it to happen.
Yeah.
It's really fucking weird.
Specifically her.
Yeah.
It's like, I think you get some clues here that she's not, you know, as innocent as she seems.
Yeah.
So you escape from him as well, and you head back out into the city here, where you encounter multiple people who seem to be transfixed by this strange signal coming from their TV sets. And I actually like this segment a lot, where you manipulate them by changing the channel and stuff.
Do you know what this reminded me of? A combination of Stray and Portal.
Yeah.
Where you know how like in Stray, dystopian city with a bunch of robots and trying, or like robots that talk.
Yeah.
It kind of gave me the same atmosphere, right?
Similar, yep.
And the portal aspect of you can teleport through televisions.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. And so over the course of the game, your own character is able to enter the TV and return to the hallway from the nightmare in the beginning. And when they finally open the door at the end, they're confronted by this very tall, thin man who climbs after you through the TV screen and starts pursuing you. This was probably like my favorite guy of the whole game.
You mean G-Man from Half-Life?
Yeah. I kept calling the fucking man who lives in the TV. This
I called him Hat Man.
Hat Man, yeah. So he kidnaps the raincoat girl and takes her back to this like signal tower,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Like Sauron's tower in the background where this TV broadcast is coming from. And there's a weird part here where you have like this like battle of wills with him, like in the street.
This is where I think the game jumped the shark for me. Where I said, wait, are you just like using magic on him? Is this like Stranger Things? Like, you're literally like putting the hand out. Right?
Yeah. I didn't know what was happening.
I can tell you, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I think what happened here is they went too far. It got too weird. Why do you have powers? They never explained why you would even have this and you just do it.
Well, so I was really into when he's chasing you.
Yes.
And then at this point where you kind of like vanquish him just by like pushing forward, I guess.
Yeah.
So it kind of turns into like, I don't know what, but he sort of disintegrates. And something I did like was how to get to the tower, he just kind of like folds the space in between.
Yep.
Like
yep.
It's not like you don't have to travel there.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of shows up. So the interior of the tower is this big sort of like being, like this like living creature.
Made of eyes and shit, right?
Yeah, so you can only really navigate it by following the sounds of this music box.
Can I give another knock to the game here?
Yeah.
If you were a hearing impaired gamer, how would you solve this?
That's a good question. Maybe
I think that's bad.
I don't know, because I didn't experiment with this. Is there like an option to include like music gets louder or something?
There's no visual cue to solve this.
It didn't seem like
so it. I think we'll talk about this at some point, but there are some games I've now become kind of attuned to this, where a lot of games do both an audio and visual element combined to help people who maybe not have one or the other.
Yeah,
this game doesn't do that, and they have this almost like Ocarina of Time, Kikiri
Forest, like Lost Woods
thing, where you have to listen for the music box and go into the right door. But if you couldn't, how do you solve it?
Yeah,
not good. So in
did
my
Lost
view.
Woods have anything like that?
No, but I guess so. I give it a pass because like it's 30 years ago. Old.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So you find the girl eventually, and she is like this gigantic, like distorted creature.
Yeah, Six is essentially a boss fight.
Yeah, and she has become, I guess, like the big adult nightmare.
Yeah.
So she's been transformed.
Six has so I mean, kind of like long story short here, right? Where Thin Man captures Six. You feel compelled to help her because you helped her before.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to leave her behind. I think that was really the setup here.
Yes.
Is you wanted to defeat Nightmare Six to maybe make her a kid again.
Yeah.
That's kind of the setup. It is my assumption.
Yeah, I believe so. And you essentially, the goal here is to destroy this music box
that she's obsessed with.
And I really did not like this part.
No, I didn't at all. It's more quote unquote combat.
Yeah. It's this final boss fight where you have to kind of outwit her by going through the different doors
and take a hammer to the music box or an axe or something.
Yeah, and it's kind of annoying. I think this is what hung me up more than anything else. And essentially, like, when you defeat her, she becomes a child again, and you're escaping and she doesn't help you.
Yeah, that's the biggest, like, critical heartbreaking moment is, yeah, you do a giant chase sequence. Here's the thing. I have a lot of problems with Little Nightmares 2. Yeah. They do set this up very well.
Yeah.
Remember, what has she done? What has Six done the whole game? When you can't jump far enough, she holds out her hand to help you.
Right.
But then there's a segment where you have to jump and she grabs you and lets you go.
Yeah.
She essentially lets you die. Yeah. And I'm like, no, that's so heartbreaking, but why? It's kind of revealed that she lets you die because in the future you become the Thin Man.
Right.
But I don't know how she would know that.
I think I've seen theories that it's because the face is similar.
Oh, okay.
And she, I don't know, what if she was exposed to some kind of arcane knowledge while she was a being or something, my initial assumption was that it was just kind of showing her dark side, which you see further in the first game.
Yeah.
And she was just like, no, I'm out for myself.
Well, do you know what, though? I feel like that's not... I feel like they're actually muddying the waters by doing that. Because if Six is letting you go, is it because morality, she knows you're actually going to be bad in the future and she's going to stop you from becoming a monster? Or is she selfish and doesn't want to help you?
Right.
That doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. I feel like they should have pursued one of those.
Yeah, maybe it made it... Because I think certain aspects of this game are a little too... I think the whole thing with the TV tower really being this big monster was, number one, I don't like playing it, and number two, I don't really like being shown that.
Yes.
I think the more they leave to your imagination, the better. And this was like a little too far, like, because I don't know, I've seen like the Bloodborne thing enough at this point.
Yeah. You
know, like, it was a bit much. But overall, like, so you basically, I think the game ends with just your character sitting in that chair in the bottom of the monster and growing up to become
Thin Man.
The Thin Man. So it's like a closed loop. And it's really just kind of like where I felt like the first game had a very clear, well, not super completely clear, but at least there was a little bit more visible intent behind the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
It was just not really there in this one. So
the first game is they put more, I think, what's the word for this? More impactful thoughts in your brain where they show you this pattern of hunger and you take a bite out of a kid and the final boss, which is kind of awesome. But also maybe Six will grow up to be bad, but you don't know yet.
Yeah.
Maybe it was revenge. Maybe it's worse.
Yeah.
But with Little Nightmares 2, I don't know. You have magic powers and then you defeat Thin Man, but Six lets you go because you become Thin Man. But how would she know that? I don't
get
it.
Where did you get the powers to begin with?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Like, in my view, they jumped the shark in this game when you do like the Stranger Things boss battle with Thin Man. And I don't know.
I don't know.
Any other thoughts? How do you feel?
I think there is a lot of cool imagery, a lot of cool gameplay, but it's held back further than the first game by just these annoying moments and some questionable story decisions. It's not really like, I feel like it just didn't live up to the potential of a sequel.
No. I think it being set up as a prequel is not a bad thing.
No.
Like, do you feel as if, let's spin it the other way. It's so hard to do this, but maybe it's fun. If Six grabbed your hand and pulled you up instead, would you have felt better about the game? I almost feel like I would have. I don't know.
I don't think it would have solved the problem.
Or you know what? If she let you go, but you don't become Thin Man, she's just bad. That may have put a different thought in my brain.
That would have been more interesting because it would have left the Thin Man as like a mystery.
Yeah.
And your character a little bit more of a mystery. And I don't know. It just felt like there was no point at the end of
this
one.
There was no point. There's no point.
It was just
exactly.
Like more little nightmares, you know, like,
uh-huh.
You know, I don't know. It's hard for me to kind of backseat drive on it, but it's, I don't know. I think maybe if anything, I would have preferred this was completely disconnected from the first
one. Are there just anthologies?
Just give you a little bit more freedom because from what I understand, the Tarsier is saying no more Little Nightmares and Bandai Namco is like, no, we want more Little Nightmares.
I just, you know what though? I wouldn't, I rarely say this. I liked the first game so much, and the second one to some extent. I wouldn't mind seeing another one.
No, I wouldn't either.
Do you know what it is? They're also so short.
They're very cut and dry.
They're very cut and dry. I think they may have put themselves in a corner by making them connected games.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I'm just kind of going off here. Just ideas are hitting my brain. What if she pulled you up and she acknowledges with you she's going to the ship and you're going to go do something else? Yeah. And maybe the third one is Bag Boy doing something else.
I think that there's a post credits where she sees like a flyer for the ship or something.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. They kind of set it up where she's going to go there.
Yeah.
But what if Bag Boy does his own thing?
Yeah.
Like that's, it's okay. I think it's a little bit better than like, wait, you're becoming evil later, but how would she know that? And this is weird.
There's also a couple dangling threads I'd like to mention very quickly is that I believe there are portraits on the ship in the first one of you with the lady. Like,
who's you referring to?
Six.
Okay.
Like the yellow raincoat girl with the kimono lady.
Wow.
And it's like, is there some history there? Like what's going on? I don't know if it's just like abandoned concept art. There's a lot of that. And also, at one point, something I did like about the second one is that you...
Did or didn't?
I did. Is that you see more of the outside world.
Yes.
And I think it lives up, for the most part, besides the dumb shit we talked about. I think for the most part, it felt correct. Like, this is how the world should look.
Like the hunter's cabin in this rainy city.
Yeah, just miserable, like, nightmare shit. And there's something very cool is that when you're in this city... You encounter, it's very quick, a shop or something, like a little workshop of those, the chef masks, like the skin, like just hanging there. And it's like, is this like, does everybody need this? Like, because their faces are like messed up by the TV.
So that's why,
like,
I wouldn't mind a third one. Like, do you know what? Don't connect them. Give me an anthology. Show me more of the world. But the games are so brief. I don't mind every 3 or 4 years. I have 3 or 4 hours of Little Nightmares, right? It's okay.
Yeah. If you have ideas for more scary stuff, that's, you know, like I said, the strength of it is just taking these ordinary things and making them nightmare versions, which I think is great.
You have any other thoughts on Little Nightmares 1 and 2?
Should we do a grade for the second one?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I don't know. My initial thought is B-. Do you think that's too low?
I'm going with a B because B- is like, I tried to like it and I couldn't. I'm going with a B just because I do feel positively towards it, I just think it's a couple of rungs below the first one.
You know what? I don't know. Okay. I'm not saying this as an insult to you. I'm not. You did not convince me. I'm saying B-.
Okay.
You know what it is? I think for me, when I see a game that has problems, every game has problems.
Yeah.
But when you have the chance to make a sequel and those problems are actually worse...
Yeah.
It really sours me.
Yeah.
Where I thought the first game is too frustrating and this game is even more so.
Yeah.
In my view, perhaps you had a better time with it than me. I think I have to go B-.
I think because for me, a B is like good. It's like average.
It's
like
good.
We
liked it.
It's a half-hearted thumbs up.
Yeah.
B- is like, I respect it, but no. So I think that's maybe where you're coming from.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think they're both very interesting. I think they're both worth playing, even though we've discussed them to death.
Yeah.
And we'll see about Little Nightmares 3 if it ever happens.
You know what? I like the way you put that. You know what I'm going to say for Little Nightmares 2? It is a B- with the asterisk, yes, you should play it. You should play both.
I agree.
I think that's all we've got for Little Nightmares. We are going to continue next week. We're talking about Fear. So we'll see you guys next time on Goddamn GameCube. Thank you.